Welcome to the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention Show. I'm your host, Eric L. Dunovit, the Kingdom ROI Strategist. Families and businesses hire me to create, grow, and protect generational wealth by discovering that what they do in their family's living room matters more than what they do in their boardroom or advisor's conference room. On this show, I'm here to tell the stories of families and business owners who recognize that they didn't have a growth problem, they had a relationship and priority problem. We'll hear stories and the journey these families who recognize that business and financial growth weren't what mattered. They know that their relationships and priorities is what's going to determine their outcomes. So stick around to hear the hardships they've faced, the lessons they've learned, and the wisdom they wish they would have known along the way. Each story captures the blessings and the struggles of pursuing return on intention instead of return on investment. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the next 40 minutes where we take the world's broken mindsets and systems and turn them upside down. Hey everyone, welcome to the Return on Intention Show. What a special, special day. I've brought you another amazing guest. You know, my passion is to advocate for families to grow and protect generational abundance for 100 years plus. And what we want to do is expose the widespread planning illusions and minimize the destruction of wealth that happens during our lifetimes and beyond. And the guest that we've got with us today has lived a life with the understanding that to truly achieve abundance, it's not about the next business or financial strategy. It is about acknowledging that what we do in our living rooms matters more than what we do in any conference or boardroom. So I look forward to diving more into their story and their journey. So Josiah Novak, welcome to the show.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it, man.
I'm excited to have you here. Josiah, tell the audience a little bit about who you are.
Sure. So I am primarily a coach. I help high achievers like yourself utilize the power of health and fitness to improve not just how they look, but how they feel, how they perform, and how they show up in all parts of life. My belief is that fitness is arguably the lowest hanging fruit to improving every single aspect of what you do. And I want to help simplify fitness for guys like us and people like us who have a million things on our plate and can feel overwhelmed at times by all the responsibilities and the callings that we have and tend to put ourselves last in our priority list. And so I want to help change that narrative and make fitness accessible for the hardworking and powerful people that we serve. So that's what I do, man.
I was going to ask you what your superpower is, but I feel like you just told me.
My superpower is making fitness feel attainable and accessible for everybody.
Yep.
Making it feel easy, even though at times it isn't always easy, but at least easy to understand. And then ultimately more simple to apply.
Okay.
That's what I've been called to do. And I get a chance to do what I love and help people in the process, man. That's amazing.
That's cool. That's cool. I want to dive into your story today. I just want to tell everybody who's listening, like, because of Josiah's process, because of this, what this guy's put together, like, if you don't know, I've lost like 50 pounds in the last year.
That's amazing.
The coat I'm wearing right now, you can't tell sitting down is way too big. He's cost me more money in having to buy new clothes.
That's what I do, man.
but his results work. So you can check out Josiah. We'll talk about it at the end in the show notes and everything on how to get in touch with what he's doing, but he is the real deal. But, and we'll have his live at lunch. If you follow our programs on there, get in touch with that. But, I just want to give that little plug before we get into your story.
Appreciate it, man. You did the work. I will just say that it's great to have a system and a process and a coach, but ultimately it will come down to the badass people that do the work on yourself.
Well, you know, thank you. Thank you. Hey, Josiah, as you kind of look at your life, let's start with, I mean, business right now is something that's working.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about with where you are in your journey right now inside of business. What are you most proud of that you've done?
I'm most proud of the community that we've built in my company. And that goes not only for the client community that we have, but also our internal community.
Mm.
We have a value system that everybody who walks through our door typically buys into. And if they don't, it's pretty much a quick exit. We've been able to facilitate the growth, both from a client base and a company base, of people who are very like-minded.
Mm.
So people who live by a code.
Yep.
And that code starts with abundance, which is such a major part of what we do, where it's a give first mentality. You know, it's a mentality of, hey, I'm going to do my job. And then what?
Mm.
Right. Where people are, yes, very great at what they do in their lane. And they're also willing to lend a hand in other aspects of the business when needed. And I see the same thing from our client base. You know, yeah. I always, it's not a joke, but it's a funny sounding phrase where I say, hey, our programs are out of this world.
Yeah.
They're very effective. You'll find true success with fitness, but our community is out of this universe.
Mm.
The amount of support, the amount of people who want to see you win almost more than they want to win.
Yep. Right?
Your success adds to their success. It doesn't detract from it.
Yep.
I'm so proud of that, man. It's because it's hard to do. You know, I've been a part of a lot of other communities throughout my life. And I can tell you most communities want to see you win, but never at the expense of their own success. Right.
Right.
They want to see you do good, but just not better than them.
Right.
But yeah. That's not what we have, yeah. Both internally and our client group. It's just a community full of people who care about each other. And that's something that takes time to build. You got to do it the right way. Yeah. And I'm super proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I know is most business journeys had a pit somewhere along the way,
sure,
where it was like, you wake up one day and you're like, who am I? And how did I get here? And how am I ever going to get out?
That happens all the time for me. No, I'm kidding. Yeah. Yeah.
What did your pit look like?
Wow. There's definitely been a couple pits, I would say, because I think what I've learned, and I'm sure you can relate, is you expand right with business.
Yep.
And then it's almost like you have to trim the fat. Mm. You use the fitness analogy of like you bulk up.
Yep.
And then you look in the mirror and go, wait a second, I'm not happy with the lack of definition,
yep,
or the level of leanness that I'm seeing in the reflection. And that's happened to me numerous times with business where we've scaled fast in some aspects.
Yep.
And then we realized our fulfillment can't handle this, right?
Okay.
Or I don't like the quality of our output in terms of results. So maybe we need to lean down a little bit. And so we scale, we lean. And every time we've scaled, we've been able to go past a previous best.
Wow.
But for me, a pit, I think most recently came when I realized that I was trying to save everybody.
Oh,
right. Yep. I was putting my message out and getting frustrated that I saw all of these people who I wasn't able to save.
Yeah.
When this whole time I had a community of people that was my audience, right?
Yep.
The people who I was called to serve. And I realized I'm not going to be able to save everyone, no matter how hard I try. And what that was causing was a lot of scatterbrain type of activity,
okay,
right? Trying to do so many different things instead of just doubling down on what I know I'm great at,
yep,
right? And the people that we serve. And I think sometimes as a business owner and also a creative, you get in this headspace where, you know, you start to compare, right? You said, man, I see this team over here in this lane that's crushing it. They seem to be helping so many more people than we are. But when you really drill down on things, you realize, no, they have their audience, you know,
yeah,
their target group of people who they're trying to serve. And for me, it was just, okay, let me get back to what I do best, which is serving, you know, high value, high quality people who want more from life, who want to, like we say, make life count, instead of getting frustrated with the occasional bad apple that I just can't seem to serve. I can't drag someone through the path. I have to lead.
Yeah.
Right. The other one too is, I think, in just because I know you have a lot of business owners who listen to this, but leading with power, not fear, is a big one for me.
That's huge. Right?
Where internally, because I'll tell you, a big mistake I made early on was not caring about my internal team as much as my external, right?
Okay.
My external being clients.
Yep. Yep.
Internal was like, do your job or else. And that for me worked for a period of time, but eventually it didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And you had to go take a step back and say, am I inspiring or am I being more of a dictator?
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, wow.
And this took some time for me to really wrap my head around, especially the way I would react to things or the way I would speak to people. But I had to take a step back, humble myself a bit and realize, do I want to be a guy who just makes money?
Yep.
Or do I want to be a guy who runs a business and creates a movement? If I want to be the latter, I got to lead from a place of power.
Yep.
A place of inspiration,
yep,
not a place of fear. And that took some time and some pain to get through, to say the least. So,
hey, there's something that's powerful about all the things that you're talking about that I've even recognized in my own life that I really want you to jump on. And you talked about this in the beginning, but I'm going to tie it back to scripture a little bit, if you don't mind, which is, you know, they asked Jesus what the most important commandment was, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, your mind. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And you started out by talking about the fact that one of the things that got you passionate about this, and it was one of the places that was even a transition in my own life. So I kind of want to know your own story is where was it that you learned the importance of putting you first? And I think with business owners, the other thing that I find we're so common is like, we get told to go serve. We got nothing left in the tank. But I love that's what I love about True Transformation and what you've been building. But you had to have found that yourself. At some point, you had to have woken up and gone, man, I'm last. I shouldn't be.
Well, this is a great question. I think I was very blessed to learn this lesson way before I learned how to be a good business owner.
Okay. Yep.
Because I became a Christian at 8 years old.
Okay.
Right. And without getting deep into that story, I had a very interesting walk with my faith. I was a diehard Christian as a kid, and I watched my family split apart, and I realized I have two humans as parents, right? Who are not perfect.
Yeah.
But that was, as a child, a very eye-opening experience. Came from a very broken home, abuse, alcoholism, narcissism, you name it. I probably went through a piece of a lot of the negativity that you see in today's world, right? And my walk with my faith became something that I put to the side. I said, I'm going to pursue worldly goals, worldly aspirations, right? But one thing that for some reason was my saving grace, and ultimately looking back, it was God working in my life, but taking care of my health and fitness was where I found refuge.
Oh, okay.
It was my anchor.
Yep.
In a chaotic timeline, in a chaotic home environment, and a lot of uncertainty, and a lot of storms that I went through as a kid, and also as an early adult, fitness was the one thing I could rely on.
Yep.
And I realized, personality-wise especially, if I don't exert some energy in my day, right? If I don't put out some effort, I turn into a jerk really quick.
Right.
Some people might use a curse word to describe how I act, right?
Yeah, no, I get it.
But for me, it became a non-negotiable, not so much for the aesthetics or appearing to look a certain way or the confidence. Yeah, all those things definitely play a factor in why I love fitness so much. But for me, putting my tank as a priority and filling that up made me realize if I don't do that, I'm not going to be able to go out and serve. I can't serve from an empty vessel. I just can't do it.
That's
right?
True. Yeah.
That lesson came early on, and I'm very happy that it did, because I had so many other lessons that were extremely painful as a business owner, as a father, as a husband, right? All these things. But for some reason, that one, just due to my circumstances as a child and then early youth and all the things I was going through, putting myself first just became a non-negotiable, and not in a selfish way.
Sure.
It was just, if I don't do this, I can't show up in other parts of my life.
Yeah.
So it was just, by the grace of God, a lesson that came early in the timeline of my development.
That's good. That's good. One of the things I find with a lot of business owners, how old are you?
I'm 38.
38. Yep. So you seem to have kind of embraced this lesson pretty early on. Mm. It could be a generational thing. I'm in my 50s, right? I don't know. But, where and how did you learn, or maybe even where did you mess up in prioritizing your marriage? I mean, I've kind of seen some things from the outside, but I mean, business owners and drivers, it's so easy to pour yourself so much into the business.
Yeah. You know, there's a couple of thoughts I have on that. I think a lot of the lessons I've learned, and this one in particular, for sure, a lot of the speed of which I've been able to acquire experience and lessons is, just to be frank, social media, right?
Okay.
Getting linked up with mentors faster and more efficiently. I've always had a thirst for acquiring experience, acquiring knowledge, right? Yep. And social media has offered the platform to be able to do that, to be able to connect with like-minded people way faster than, you know, even someone like yourself who's not that much older than me, but that 10-year gap is huge in today's social media world, right? So I've been able to connect with people who are like, hey, here are the things where I screwed up, right? Here are the lessons. That being said, though, I mean, behind the scenes, as you know, I'm just as guilty of this as anybody else. On a front-facing social media platform, everybody puts out their best stuff.
Yeah.
Right? Look at my life. It's great. I'm perfect. I try not to do that. I try to share my struggles, use my struggles as a way to create more impact, serve the mission, right, in a better way. But behind the scenes, man, I've had so many issues as a married man trying to grow a business, be a father, and prioritize the things that will ultimately lead to less stress, lead to more fulfillment.
Yep.
And I think at times, you know, as men especially, we think we just got to put our nose to the grindstone.
Yeah.
You know, hustle, hustle, grind. For me, one of the biggest lessons was communication. if I am in grind mode, if I am in create mode, if I am in a struggle or a storm mm-hmm. business-wise, or even if I'm ultra successful and I want to celebrate, the more I communicate and I'm just overly transparent without any fear of judgment or whatever with my spouse,
yeah,
the better my life is,
yep.
right? Because typically what ends up happening is it's almost like this, we have this fear of like, now I'm going to be judged or, you know, they're not going to understand because they're not necessarily in the same seat as I am, or they're doing other things, right? Or I don't want to put it on them because it's my stress. I can carry this load, right? I don't need to put this on them. But what I found is that fear is first of all, it's ridiculous because once you communicate, it's almost like you get the monkey off your back.
That's right. That's right.
And then they're so receptive.
Yep.
And also they feel more connected, right? Because now they're a part of your journey and they feel bought in at a higher level.
Yep.
But I will tell you, you know, just to be very transparent, I'm not perfect at this. You know, this still has, even with business being where it is now, you know, you reach new levels, and with new levels, there's new devils, right? Yeah. And there's more things that pull you in different directions in some aspect. And sometimes you have more freedom and less freedom in other areas.
Yeah.
And you have to be able to just say, hey, whatever is going on, I'm just going to be an open book. I think for me, that lesson in and of itself has saved me a lot of time and a lot of grief with being married and being a business owner. Obviously there's many other lessons too, right? But I think the more you can get your spouse bought in by being transparent and vulnerable, man, you're in for a much less rocky ride.
Okay. So we're going to take this a little bit further. I'm going to assume something by asking a question, but I think I'm going to get the answer, which is, so tell me what the biggest mistake that in having open communication with your wife, she's kept you from making.
Oh man.
Wow. In business would be
in
interesting.
In business,
sure. Like you were about to go do something and her wisdom and your communication was open. She was like, hey, Josiah, that's probably not a good idea.
That's a great one. I have one recently that took place. She's talked me off the ledge numerous times.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
With decisions around people primarily.
Okay. Yep.
Because sometimes you need, and I'm going to speak to the masculine and feminine here, but I think ultimately sometimes it's just people's lens that they see the world through, right? Mm-hmm. Where they see your blind spots. Yep. And in some aspects in my business, I've had people where due to frustration or due to growing pains or whatnot, you say, hey, I'm kind of done, right? Like, I think we're going to move on because we're just not on the same page. And what I've been able to find out through just more communication with my wife is that she'll see things that I don't see. Things that they're doing great, things that they could be doing better in some aspects, but gives me more ammo and also more critical thinking, right? Like, hey, you know what? I don't necessarily need to move on from certain people. This person has strengths over here that maybe fit better in this bucket or this seat, right, in our company. Recently, I can think of a couple of examples where she has saved me from losing someone
really
that I probably would have moved on from and then look back and say, man, why did I do that, right? I should have been more, you know, constructive instead of so critical, right? She just sees things through a different lens. She sees different angles. And I don't know if it's necessarily the feminine lens or it's just life experience and maybe more patience in some aspect, right? The motherly viewpoint, but ultimately it saved me and also allowed us to empower people more and, you know, give me some more empathy in the process. So yeah, I think she saved me from losing high quality people.
There we go.
Which is huge.
Well, I mean, this is why I asked that question. I talk about this a lot. I mean, scripture is real clear. Jesus said, two become one flesh. Mm. But for some reason, as business owners, we go into the world and we think, well, I'm going to go do business without half of myself. Mm. And you were talking about the communication. I think so many times business owners rob themselves of the extra wisdom of a spouse because they won't open that line of communication up.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you see the same thing with, you know, other business owners or people that you've known along
for
the way.
Sure. And this doesn't, I mean, you know, it doesn't just apply to business. I think in general, I know at least being a business owner and in my personality, I tend to take on the world.
Yeah.
Right. I want to be, you know, I'm the hero in the story. I'm the hero who takes on all the villains and then I come home with the trophy. Right. That's right. Kind of how you start to paint yourself.
That is. Yep.
What you forget though, is every king needs a queen. You know, every queen needs a king. You guys are ruling, or maybe not so much ruling, but you're growing together.
Yes.
Right. You're expanding together. Expansion is a word that I think about all the time. And I think there's just this general sense that I'm going to be maybe judged, or I'm not going to look like the hero to the person I care about the most. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel protected. Right. I don't want them to be stressed. I'll take on that stress. I'm strong enough.
Yep,
right. But it's just, it is an incredible experience when you are open and you are vulnerable and you are transparent and you lay out your burdens on the floor, you say, hey, dude, this is me, right? Yep. This is what I'm going through. It's like you start to kick yourself a little bit, right? And you're like, why don't I do this all the time?
Right.
But it is true. You can't expect someone to read your mind. You can't expect someone to buy in if you're not an open book.
Yep.
It's such a massive lesson.
Yep. So you came to faith at 8 years old.
Yep.
Probably went on, like you said, kind of went on a journey like most of us did,
yep.
kind of walking away and things like that. But what, especially in this season, as you're watching the business expand, maybe in ways that you had hoped, but maybe beyond what you knew for sure could happen, what are you seeing God show you right now? What is he teaching you most in this season?
He's teaching me that my goals are going to be determined by his will, right? I've stopped saying we are going to do this. I've started saying, if God wants us to do this, this is what's going to happen.
Yep.
Right. I'm all in, right? Yep. Like I'm totally down. I'm ready to go. I'm going to, fight like hell to get it done. I'm going to grind. I'm going to hustle or I'll slow down.
Yeah.
Right. If I need to, I've really worked on giving up my control. Right. Because I'm a control freak.
That's hard, man.
We are, right?
Right. Yeah. No,
I think when people think or hear giving up control, they think, man, that sounds almost like reckless. You know, it's like, take your hands off the wheel. No. It's not a Tesla, right? Like I'm talking about doing what you're called to do, because I am called to do certain things. I'm called to work extremely hard. I'm called to be diligent and motivated and all these things. Right. But ultimately releasing myself from the outcome.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like fitness.
Yep.
I buy into the process 100%. You got my full commitment. When the outcome shows up, that's up to God, right?
Like, well, okay. I'm going to say that, but I'm sitting here thinking right now, like to live a life surrendered sometimes feels a little scary.
It is.
Right?
Yeah.
And especially for us creatives and business owners, there is some control about whether or not I'm going to put 5 more pounds on that back squat today. So it is a place of maybe being out of control, but if I'm going to really truly surrender myself, I think I'm finding that like this morning, as I loaded up the barbell this morning, there's a little bit of like, I can control this part right here for this minute.
Yeah. I think surrender is an interesting word. Because surrender, I think we all relate that to almost giving up, right? Yep. Waving the white flag.
All right. Yeah.
No, I surrender. Right. And God's world, I don't think that's what it means. I think what it means is becoming a partner with God. Right. Yeah. You're signing a very valuable partnership.
Oh, that's good.
Right. Where I'm going to hustle even harder. Right. Like I'm going to work even harder because I ain't got to worry about my partner showing up. Right. I got a perfect partner in God.
He's
literally perfect being.
That's right.
There's no faults. There's no imperfections. So I got that as a partner, man. What do I got to worry about? Right. I'll work even harder. I'll triple down. So like your workout analogy, I'll go crush in the gym because, dude, when the results show up, they show up, right?
Right.
I'm going to keep showing up.
That's
I'm going to keep doing the work. I think too, like, I don't like giving people open loops, right? Like, what does it mean to surrender? I don't know what that looks like or what the outcome is. What it looks like to me is I'm going to pray, first of all, right? I'm going to try to listen in prayer, because prayer isn't just a one-way street,
right?
It's getting a lot of messaging back and actually being silent and allowing the message to hit you. For me, it's like, hey, what can I do every day that I know, like we all have it, right? A voice inside of us, whether you want to admit it or not, that tells you kind of what you need to do, right? You get that voice like, I should be doing this. I know I'm messing up, right?
Right.
That's what I mean by surrendering, is allowing yourself to be led by this calling that you have and whatever walk of life you're in, even if it's not business, it's like showing up at a job site or building home or whatever it could be in your life where you have a voice that's calling you to do something, listening and then doing it. Right. Relentlessly. Like I tell my wife, I said, if there's ever a day where I'm called to do something outside of fitness, right, it would be a tough ask because I love it so much, but I'm just called to show up in every part of my life, whatever that looks like. Right now, I'm clearly called to be fitness guy, right? I'm in an Uber getting, peppered with questions. I'm in an airport getting recognized for a fitness. The guy I met today in the airport lost, like, I think he said 30 pounds or something like that, just following my tweets. So it's like, I'm clearly called to do this, but ultimately I don't get upset if God's results don't match some fairy tale result that I've had in my head, right? Because I'll tell you right now, one thing I've learned is his ideas and his goals and his results that he has for me are way better than mine.
That's it. Right?
Way better.
That's it. Right.
Like yeah. It's so funny because the life I thought about having when I started this, literally as a personal trainer back in 2004, the life I thought I was going to have doesn't even come close to what I have now.
Yeah.
Right? I thought I was going to make, not even talk about money, but like I had a certain amount of money in my head.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, that's not even something I worried about anymore. Like I've impacted so many people, like the network I have, I never thought I'd get here. Right.
Yeah.
So giving yourself up to that and surrendering to that idea isn't as scary when you start to see it play out and you realize God's plans are way bigger than yours anyway.
Right. No, that's it. I mean, it's the ultimate, the surrender is, can you surrender your little bitty goals?
Yes.
To the big plan that he has and trust.
Stop playing small.
That's it.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah. Because I mean, you know, I might say, hey, I want to help 10,000 people. And God might say, well, what about 10 million that I have planned for you? Right. Or it might be 1,000 people that he has planned for you, but that 1,000 people, the impact you make is bigger and more fulfilling than you ever thought you could have. And I think it's a lesson that only comes from doing the work and seeing things play out. It's not going to happen by sitting around waiting for things to show up and proof to show up on your doorstep. Yep. You got to get out in the trenches. And I think that's what will happen. You'll start to see it play out right in front of you. Like, aha, one day, like, oh my gosh, this is actually exactly how whatever, you know, person told you this lesson, exactly how it plays out. When you see it happen, you believe. And that's what's happened to me over the years. It's not always easy, but it's definitely an important one.
That's cool. So we got about 10 minutes left in the show, but I want to talk a little bit about your boys.
Sure, man. Yes.
So, as you kind of look at life and leading them, they're still young, still impressionable, but what are they teaching you right now about life?
How not to punch a hole in the wall, rip my hair out, scream at them.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Oh my gosh. What are they teaching, man? Wow. They're right now in this current moment. So I'll be present and not think about all the incredible lessons I've learned over the 9 years of being a dad now, but I have two boys, you know, they're 18 months apart. And they're really starting to mimic me without telling me that they're mimicking me, right? Yep. I'll give you an example. So I wear a necklace a lot of the times, right? Like a chain or some kind of necklace. I like men's jewelry. It's just one of my things. Well, my oldest son raided my closet. And one day we were going to school and I said, what is that around your neck? Because I drive him to school every day and I saw a chain around his neck. And I said, what are you doing? Like, first of all, you can't wear that to school, right? Like, you know, and I started going like crazy in my head. I'm thinking, why is he doing this? And I got back home and I told my wife, I said, hey, you know, I made him take the chain off because I was just being a reactive father, right? And I get home and I say, yeah, he was wearing a chain to school. And Michelle goes, you know why? And once again, being open with your wife, she goes, because you do that.
Right?
Right. I said, wait a second, right? Like, so I've started to watch them mimic all my habits, how I talk, the things I do, workouts, all that stuff. And I've realized how important it is for me to be aware of the example I'm setting every day.
There you go.
Because yes, I know as a father, I have to lead by example, but watching them start to do the things you do right in front of you, from the way you dress, the music you like, everything. It's like, whoa, like these kids are going to walk in my footprints, right? Mm-hmm. And they're going to be their own person at some point, right?
That's right.
But early on, they're very impressionable. And that's hitting me harder than ever before because of just where they are in their life. But clearly, they're becoming my clones. So I have to be very, you know, aware. And once again, going back to our God discussion, very willing and able to follow God's path, because ultimately that will be theirs.
I got enough time to ask you this question because I want to know. How has being a father to your boys changed your understanding of the father?
Oh, man. Yeah. The times I've lost my cool with my kids and been just so full of frustration and anger in a lot of aspects. Mm-hmm. And also watching. So I have, you know, two boys and they're so close in age that they get after it, right? They fight like cats and dogs, or dogs and dogs, whatever you want to call it. They're just at each other's throats a lot. And being able to have grace with my kids is a very hard thing. And thinking about all the times I've screwed up and how I'm still in God's favor.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not kicked out of the kingdom yet.
Right.
And it's like thinking about all the crap I've done and the things I've said and the way I've acted or treated other people in my life. And still God loves me unconditionally.
Isn't that powerful?
It's crazy. Yeah. And one thing I will say though, just as not to detract from the love I have for my kids, I have such powerful love for them, right? And I think it's eye-opening because you go, in a lot of ways, this is how God feels about me, right? Where he's thinking about me all day. Like, I'm thinking about my kids on the way over here.
No,
like,
absolutely.
And that's how he feels about me. And it's like, ooh, I feel loved.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right?
Like,
yeah.
The ultimate love. Like, it's hard to describe until you felt that way about something, you know? And I think a love that you have for your children is a very special and unique kind of love.
Yeah, it is.
You know,
it really it's crazy. Is. Just is there anything you wanted to make sure you got to share today that I haven't asked you about while we're here?
Yeah, I think going back to fitness, I think the world will tell you fitness is about how you look. Mm-hmm. It's about how you look in your clothes or how you look at the beach or the confidence that you have when you look in the mirror. And I won't disregard those things. I think they're very, very important. But I think if we're looking for something besides our faith to latch our boat to or latch our mission to, I think we'd be shortchanging our potential by disregarding the power of fitness. Mm-hmm. I think faith and fitness go hand in hand. One is your spiritual well-being, and then your physical and mental well-being also needs to be taken care of. And I think that it's the lowest hanging fruit. I mean, truly the lowest hanging fruit to just feeling noticeably better, more in control, more clear in your life decisions. It's, in my opinion, the most valuable thing that everybody can grasp and latch onto every single day. It should be a non-negotiable part of your life. I
love the way you've simplified it. Mm. I really do. Like, before I really ran across your system, I will tell you, I was confused by a lot of things. And I feel like we've got enough time. Just give a high level overview of the 3M system.
So I'd love to. Yeah. Fitness, you know, we don't lack information. We live in an information age. There's a million different ways to skin a cat when it comes to getting in shape.
Yep.
What I've tried to do, because I've been very frustrated by all the information and the lack of clarity.
Yep.
I think with clarity, all of a sudden the world opens up for you,
yep.
right? You know what to do. And in my opinion, there's only three things that you need to get right. We call it movement, muscle, and meals.
Mm-hmm.
Three simple buckets. Obviously there's unique ways that we can fill those buckets up. Yep. But when you look at your routine, if you move more during the day, if you schedule a few high quality workouts throughout your week, you pay attention to how much you eat from a caloric standpoint.
Yep.
You get those things right, you're 99.9% dialed in and optimized.
Right.
The other stuff is cool. You know, the sleep optimization, the fancy supplements, the saunas, the ice baths, like all that stuff is great. But without those three big rocks, all that stuff doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So we got to get those three things right. And the truth is all diets, all workout plans, all cardio, all the stuff that you see out there in the online space or wherever you work out, all of those things follow the 3M system, whether they tell you or not.
Yeah. Right.
So when you can realize that and you can see, oh, why does that diet work? Or why does that workout routine work? Well, it's because they've got the movement, the muscle, and the meals dialed in.
Yep.
So knowing that, you can create your own unique system that you enjoy following, that's sustainable and also really easy to wrap your head around. So you don't have that blockade or that wall up of feeling overwhelmed or frustrated or confused. It's simple. It's enjoyable, which is a big aspect, and it's efficient.
Yeah.
You get that down, dude, you can go as long as you want for the rest of your life, ideally being fit, healthy, looking, feeling, and performing at your best.
That's so good. So if people want to get in touch with you, follow what you're doing. You're on a lot of social media websites. What are the best ways for people to do that?
So personally, I'm on all the major social platforms from Instagram to Facebook to YouTube and all that. If you just search Josiah Fitness, you can also go to thetruetransformation.com.
Okay.
That's where you can learn about our program and you can check out some of our results and also get a lot of just help without even being a part of our program yet. Those are the best ways to connect. We put out hundreds of pieces of content every month. So there's never a shortage of helpful information.
So Josiah, my favorite question, my last question is always the same. So in 100 years, what do you hope your family, the people who've remembered you, are saying about you?
Life moves fast. Make it count.
I should have known that one up front.
Huh? No, I mean, my prayer would be that whether it's with fitness or some other aspect of personal development, that the Novak name is still associated with a brand or multiple brands that really serve people and truly make their life better. Oh. Right. I hope that's fitness, but if it's not, I hope it's in some aspect that's powerful.
Oh, that's so good. Just I thank you again.
Appreciate
you for
Eric.
Being here. It's been awesome.
Appreciate
it's been
you.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
Everybody, thank you so much for joining us. that we run an invitation only program that helps families grow and protect generational abundance for 100+ years. And what we want to do is expose the widespread planning illusions and minimize the destruction of wealth that happens during our lifetimes and beyond. So I've got several tips and examples that can help you grow your wealth by discovering, guess what? You don't need another business or financial strategy. What you need is to acknowledge that what you do in your living room matters more than what you do in any conference or boardroom. So please get connected with us on kingdomroi.org for more information. And we will look forward to being with you again next time. God bless you. Have a fantastic day. Thank you so much for joining me for the Kingdom ROI Return on Intention podcast. If you're a business owner or a family who recognizes that what you're doing in your family's living room matters more than what you do in the boardroom or advisors' conference rooms, you're open to sharing the ups and downs of the journey and would like to be a guest on the show, then I'd like to invite you to apply by visiting our website, www.kingdomroi.org. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any episodes, go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. Want to know more? Go to our website, www.kingdomroi.org, or follow me on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Thanks for listening. This is Eric L. Dunovet, the Kingdom ROI Strategist, signing off. Until next time.